Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives life to the dead and who calls things that are not as though they were. Amen. Dear people of God, picture in your mind a world that's absolutely covered in the deepest of darkness. It covers everyone and everything. But this darkness, it's not a literal physical darkness. It's a spiritual one. Everywhere you look, this world is full of pain and sadness. The rich oppress the poor. They try to press and pry every last penny out of their hands. Even though the world is filled with food all around, there are people that are literally dying of hunger in the streets. The people who see them just walk on by. And there are some people who are so poor and so destitute that they can't even afford clothes for their backs. The people who see them, even their family members, their own flesh and blood, turn a blind eye to them. Everywhere, lying in the highways and byways, are people who feel absolutely convinced that if there is a God, he must certainly have turned his back on them, that he must be filled with nothing but anger and hatred for them. Some of them spend their lives crying out to him, hoping to win some kind of help and mercy. Others just give up hope. And no matter how brightly the sun shines in the sky, this world is dark. And even though you've never known any other world but this one, you understand in the deepest way possible that this can't be the way things were meant to be. Now imagine that into this world, someone new walks. This person looks just the same as every other miserable wretch walking around, but it doesn't take long to realize how truly different this person is. Instead of joining with the rich and oppressing the poor, this person ignores the corrupt and the powerful and takes a seat in the dirt next to the poor and the miserable. When starving and naked souls press around and close, this person always seems to have something to give them somehow. In a world full of people that are convinced that God must have turned his back on them, this person walks up to them, and smiles to say, "Peace be with you," and tells them about a God that they never imagined, a God who loves them. A God who would call people like them his own sons and daughters. Wherever this person walks, it's like the darkness of the world runs away and all that's left in its place is the light of God. Like a sunrise scattering the gloom of night. And now zoom in on a little bit on that person. Do you recognize who it is? It's you. It's the person that God called you to be and made you to be when he brought you to faith. That's the way Isaiah described it in our lesson when he talked about what happens when the faith in our heart is lived in our lives. He wrote, "Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will appear." It's the same truth that Jesus shared with his disciples one day when he gave them those simple words, "You are the light of this world." Jesus was saying that those God has blessed are a blessing to this world. On a separate time, Jesus once said that he was the light of the world. That one's easy. Jesus was holy and perfect. God's Son become flesh. Jesus never sinned. He always had the courage to call evil evil. He always had the love to show repentant sinners the truth of God's salvation. That Jesus was the light of the world, well, that's an easy one. But now as he preaches a sermon on the Mount, Jesus looks at his disciples and tells them, "You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth." Those two pictures both had the same point. Light and salt, they both have a purpose. Light, by its very nature, is is seen. It shows things for what they really are, good or evil. If it wouldn't do that, it wouldn't be light. Back in the days before electricity, salt was your deep freezer. You packed your food in it, and even though it sometimes gave the food a bit of a bitter taste, without it, it would rot, and everything would decay. If it didn't preserve things, it wouldn't be salt. Light and salt, that's what Jesus said his disciples were in this world. It might seem like a bit of a stretch if you knew the disciples. They were sinners. They failed. Peter so often would go back and forth between one day arrogantly boasting in the strength of his faith and the next day being swallowed up by his doubts as he sunk beneath the waves of the Sea of Galilee or ran away from Jesus the night he was betrayed. James and John loved to argue about who would be sitting at Jesus' right hand and left hand in heaven as if everything were all about them and their power and glory. One day when Jesus was sharing the truths of the kingdom of heaven with a Samaritan woman at a well, an outcast from Israel, the disciples looked at him and said, Jesus, you're talking to her? They so often had it all upside down and inside out, and Jesus said they were the ones to preserve what's good and right in the world. They were going to show the world the truth? Didn't Jesus know them? It seems like such a stretch. Maybe it seems like a stretch if you know yourself too. Because Jesus still looks at those that he calls to faith, his people, and he calls them salt and light. Your role by God's grace is to show the truth and to preserve what's good and right in this world. So how brightly does your light shine? How strong is your salt? And maybe it seems like too hard of a task sometimes. After all, we live in a world and even in a country where the darkness grows strong. We live in a country where every year more than 1 million abortions take place, where almost half of all children are born to people who are living out of wedlock, when more than half of all marriages end in divorce. And it's hard, it's easy to look at that and lament the way that there's so much corruption in the government or a breakdown in society and a failure of everything around us, but the most shocking statistic of all is that's life in a country where 80% of the people claim to know and follow Jesus. Are there so many abortions and divorces because the laws are so lax? Or because people who know Christ choose to love themselves more than they love their families? We can wring our hands about the Great Recession and the failure of regulations, but did all of that happen because companies were greedy? Or because people who know the truths of heaven so often live like they need to get as much as they can on earth? Is it because the darkness is so strong? Or because sometimes those who are salt and light aren't? When someone you know and love talks about the way they're treating their boyfriend or girlfriend as if they were their husband or wife, do you seek to preserve their lives by telling them, warning them about that sin that will take them away from God? Or do those words feel a little too salty and strong in your mouth? Maybe might leave a bitter taste. When fellow Christians start to change the truths of God's word and cut pages out of their Bible, do you point them back to the inspired truth of God's word that's there in front of them? When you see someone that's lost in despair or crushed with hopelessness and loss, swallowed up in guilt, do you give them that worldly comfort of, well, it'll all be okay somehow? Or do you point them to a Savior who loves them and died for them and lives for them and will not let them go? Jesus let the disciples know that it seemed impossible for salt to not be salt or light to not be light. But so often when we look at our lives, it's easy to see the way that we fall so far short. Doesn't Jesus know us at all? But that's his point. Listen again to his words. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. And Jesus doesn't say, try to be the salt of the earth, or if you work real hard, you will be the light of the world. He says you are. It's not if you go out and live the right way and try hard enough, I will let you be my people and I will save you. Don't you see? He says, don't you see? I've saved you. I've made you my people. By my blood, I've washed away the darkness that was within you, and I left light. So be who you are, and let that light shine in this world. At the beginning of the sermon, you imagined a world that was filled with darkness, but you know that's not an imaginary world. That's the world as God sees it now. When you saw that new person walking into this world, did you see Jesus? Was that who you pictured? Well, that's an easy one, because Jesus was the one who did those things, who always gave witness to the truth, who always showed love to those who were around him, who never failed to warn against evil and point people to heaven. He's the one that always showed so much love in a way that I just don't see in my life. But never forget what he did at the end of that light of life of love. He went to a cross. And there, lifted high on the cross, he was the light of the world. But when you look at Jesus on the cross, how can it help but point God's pure light on what sin really is? It's something that destroys us and leads us to death and hell. And when you see that light of God shining from the cross, it shows us a God that we never could have imagined. A God who loves unconditionally. A God who forgives endlessly and mercifully. A God who would actually give his own Son for you and for me. And that same Lord and light of the world is the one who looks at you, his forgiven and redeemed people, and says, you are. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. The Apostle Paul reminded us how that was true when he wrote, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. You are the light of the world because Christ, the light of the world, lives in you. That means your life has a purpose. God's changed you so that you might bring change to this world and to others. And maybe that feels like something that's impossible sometimes. After all, the world is so big, and sometimes the darkness seems so deep, and who would ever think that you could make a difference in this world? Well, Jesus does. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Jesus is talking about that light that comes into the world through the Christian church and through Christians. Individuals. And maybe sometimes it feels like the light that you shine as you live your Christian faith and speak those words of Christ will never wrap around the world and share that gospel with people on the other side of the world. Maybe. And maybe sometimes you feel like your life isn't so important that you'd be like that gleaming city up on a hill whose light is seen by people in miles and miles in every direction. Maybe sometimes you feel so small and unimportant that you're just like a lamp on a stand in a corner of a house. So what do? You give light to that room, to the people that you meet wherever God has placed you. And as they hear your words of warning about what sin does, they will hear their Savior's words of warning about their sins. And as they see you showing love and giving help and aid to people who could never pay you back and might not even ever deserve it, they'll catch a glimpse of what Jesus' love is like. And as they see you and hear you living in a way that shows you're concerned about your master in heaven more than the money in your bank, they'll get the smallest picture of the joy that comes with living knowing a Father in heaven who will always take care of you. And on those days when you stumble and fall, when you don't live like the light and the salt that God has made you to be and the person that God calls you to be, what do they get to see then? Someone who knows that we don't have to hide or lie about our sins, but can confess those sins and rejoice in the full and free forgiveness that God gives. And even there and even then, they'll see Jesus too. About 800 years ago, a Christian preacher gave the encouragement, preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. It was his way of saying that sometimes the loudest sermon that you'll ever preach is the one that's there in your actions and in your life. It reminds me of a story of a time a homeless man wandered into a Christian church. He didn't look like he'd ever stepped foot in a church before. He was wearing raggy jeans, a holy t-shirt, wild hair, and no shoes on his feet. He came in about 20 minutes late on the day a church was packed. He walked up, and as he got closer to the front, he realized that there were no places left to sit, so he just took his seat on the floor in the middle of the aisle. He kind of cut the tension in the church with a knife. Sooner or later, an elderly usher started walking up from the back of the church, dressed in a three-piece suit, an 80-year-old man looking very godly and dignified, and as the congregation watched him make his way towards that homeless man sitting in the floor, they all knew what had to be done. You couldn't really blame him for it. But when he got to the front, he dropped his cane and sat on the ground next to the homeless man so he wouldn't have to worship alone. I don't think he leaned over and whispered the truths of objective justification or the vicarious atonement that comes through the blood of Christ into his ear then. But he gave him a picture of what his Savior's love was like. He got to show him Jesus. I'm not sure that many people remember the pastor's sermon word for word that day, but I doubt any of them ever forgot the sermon that was preached by the actions of that usher. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." What do you see when you look at the world around you? Is it filled with sin and pain and darkness? Does it amaze you that God could love that world so much that he would give his son for it? Does it amaze you that of all the people in the world, God has loved you so much that he brought you to know the truths of your Savior? Doesn't it amaze you that God loves you in this world so much that he now gives this world you to be a source of light and truth? Then let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Amen. Please rise. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his glorious power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus before all ages, now and forever. Amen.